In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the comic. I was thrown off. You didn't flip me off, Travis. I was waiting. I was waiting for it. It didn't happen. Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me is my troubled writer, my man with writer's block who is troubled and decided to write a romance novel. I lost my thread on this one. The one, the only.
I want to do a bad thing to you. Travis Ratz here. Remember that show?
No, I don't. I don't know what you're
talking about. True Blood? They're drinking all the blood.
Never watched it. Never watched it.
Sookie Stackhouse.
And sexy vampires, not my thing. I don't know. I don't know. It's not.
No one said they were sexy, Josh. That you put that on them.
I did. Well, it's, you know, the sideburns and the blood and the, you know, like the dudes, like, you know, they're all sexy.
Someone
all
hasn't sexy watched guys. It. You know a lot about their facial hair.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast, where Travis and I dive deep into graphic novels and trades. And folks, it is the spooky season. It is upon us. It's October. It's still 100 degrees in Arizona, but we are ready for spooky season. And
is that a rat-a-tat-tat I hear at the door, Josh?
Wait. Oh, my gosh. Our annual spooky guest is with us. Andrea, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. It's great to see you and hear you, and yeah. I'm so pumped.
Are you ready to talk spooky books, Andrea?
Always. All right,
so
thank you.
It is spooky season, and we're ready, and we've got a book for you today. The book that we read, that we dove deep into, is You'll Do Bad Things, and that book is it out on Image? Yeah, it's out on Image. Story by Tyler Boss, art by Adriano Tertolici.
Yeah, do like this with your, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Tertolici. lettering by Hassan Atsmani. And editing and Courtney Menards, and designed by Dylan Todd. That is the book we are reading. We are reading two spooky books with Andrea. This is the first one. It is about a serial killer. But before we get into the book,
oh good, I thought I was got to jump in and ease spooky season into.
No. I wanted to say like this is the show you're on.
But I like it. Good.
Before we get into the book. Before we get into You'll Do Bad Things, let's talk spooky season. It is spooky season. It is, as we record this, Saturday, October 4th. We are on the fourth day of the spookiest of months. What have you two been doing?
Government shutdown.
Government shutdown.
Not getting paid.
And working. What have you two been doing to get into the spooky season? Andrea, why don't you start us off? I know that you are, you've posted some spookiness on the Instagram. What is your spooky, what have you been doing to get yourself in October?
The former cryptid queen herself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the one and only cryptid queen, honestly. I don't think there's been any success.
And they closed. So.
What? They closed?
The establishment that crowned you the cryptid queen is no longer operational. So.
Wow. Okay.
You are the one and only cryptid
That's
queen.
That's kind of, I mean, as sad as that is.
It's kind of cool, right? Like no one's, no one's going to dethrone you. No one's going to dethrone you.
Andrew, I think that's fantastic.
What have you been doing to get yourself spooky?
Well, I mean, I decorate like September 1st, the whole interior of the house is spooky because HOAs suck and I would just have skeletons and hay bales in my yard like all year round if I could. But also the tradition is watching Halloween, like Carpenter's Halloween, having pumpkin beers, lighting all the candles like October 1st. Halloween 3 Season of the Witch is October 2nd. And after that, it's just pretty much Fear Fest on AMC, like playing 24/7. And, I'm going to Halloween Horror Nights on next week. So I'm prepping for that. Going to Synespia to watch The Craft. So get it to be in a graveyard.
Light as a feather.
Watch The Craft.
Light as a
with
feather.
A bunch of witchy people.
Yeah.
So just like I just doing my best. The LA Haunted Hayride with Elvira, like it's gonna be amazing.
Oh, so she's gonna be there.
Yeah, hopefully she's partnering with them, and so like everything's Elvira themed. Okay. But she was there the other night, so I don't know. Maybe she'll make an appearance. It'd be cool.
I just rewatched Elvira last spooky season.
Yeah,
holds up. Or like the food scene where she's like cooking and it's all crazy, gross stuff. Andrea, I have a question. I have a spooky question for you.
What's that?
The question isn't spooky itself, so don't be afraid. You said you start decorating your interiors in September. Two-part spooky question.
Okay, let's do it.
One, do you have an estimate if you were to take all your spooky decorations that come out during spooky season? Like, what are we looking at? Are we talking about tens of thousands of dollars?
God, I wish, and I don't want to throw him under the bus, but my darling husband is not one for stuff. So it's a lot of stuff that has been like, it's old and has been around for a long time. I've slowly added like a few things here and there, but it's not nearly, I mean, if it were like just all on me to do this and I had funds, it would be like tens of thousands of dollars, like animatronics, the giant skeleton that people have, like the 14-foot skeleton, like I'd have that in a heart, like I'd have probably like an army of them. So it's definitely not like
Jason and the Argonauts in your front yard,
right? Yes, exactly. I'm a big fan of lighting though, so that's where I've kind of eked in like some extra. I really love to do lighting and make that like make things look really cool. But I will be getting a new fog machine this year because mine crapped out on me last year, so that'll be an extra couple $100.
Fog machine, they don't make them like they used to.
Fog machines are notoriously breaking down all the time. There's never been a fog machine that has lasted in theater. Those things get replaced every year, but luckily they're you said how much you're getting like the industrial strength fog machine.
Well,
then
I like to get like the concerty ones, like that was the last one I got and it did all right. It was a couple $100 and it lasted a few years, but I think it rained like Halloween and I just didn't cover it well enough, or it got flooded somehow and it just kind of crapped out on me.
Make your own fog juice? I do not make my own fog juice,
but I have like an apparatus that like you put ice in and it freezes the fog. So it like it's like a cooler and it's got like chicken wire in it and stuff, and it freezes the fog. So it like stays like low hanging and looks really cool, but I just need to get an actual fog machine to help feed
frozen
that,
fog.
So.
Frozen fog. All right, Travis, we're in spooky season. What is spooky season like in Germany? Can I ask? Is it spooky? Is it?
Oh, it's so spooky. It's been raining for about 2 weeks straight. It's really spooky. Like the roads are dangerous. That's spooky, right? Like while I drive to work in the morning, it's like it's a task.
I mean, maybe it's not spooky. It's more like scary.
But, yeah, well, it's Oktoberfest season, so there's a lot of drunk people around. That's kind of spooky.
That is spooky.
Do you?
No, I like it because I still call myself a Halloween head, but since I moved overseas, I haven't really had like a solid Halloween, like the way that I would like to do Halloween. Sure. So I think I'm gonna have to remove the spooky head title from. I'm gonna have to call myself something different.
Just a regular guy.
Yeah.
Like a creep. Just a creep.
Yes. A spook in recovery.
There we go.
A creep. Just a creep. Just a curmudgeon. I would say that what I do like about this part of Europe is that, I mean, when fall comes on, it comes on hard. Like outside my window at the park, it's fall leaves. There's a crisp chill in the air. There's Lederhosen for the Oktoberfest. That's nice. That's kind of spooky. And I got a big projector, like a really nice projector. This thing is like nice. It's like Andrea's fog machine, only plays movies instead of fog.
Fantastic.
Probably costs the same amount. And ironically, before we get on this podcast, guess what I was watching? 1980s John Carpenter's The Fog, because I have not seen it.
God.
And so I started, I'm like, do I want to start it after the pod? I've never seen it. It's one of the only John Carpenter movies I haven't seen.
Holy shit. It is.
And
Tom Atkins is my favorite. I literally have like pictures of him and me all over my office. That movie is amazing. I love it so
what
much.
What is Andrea Belew? Or she was in Swamp Thing. She's in
Adrienne
Barbeau.
Yeah, she's her job in that movie. Being so like cool, the late night DJ in a lighthouse in a maritime town is literally my dream job. Like, let me live in a lighthouse and play tunes all night long to all the creeps. Like, oh my God,
she talks like this, Josh. She goes, here's number four in a row for you coming at you. Yeah.
So it just sounds like the guy from, Tarantino movie. It's just Reservoir Dogs. It's just a guy.
But it's I'm thinking more like the chick from The Warriors.
Come out, make a radio DJ. She looks amazing. She has the best job. She is my dream girl. I love her so much. She's amazing.
Last night I watched, I'm only 25 minutes into it, but it's only in like a 90 minute movie. So this podcast is cutting my fog experience.
Oh, sorry.
It's good. Now it's on here. Anyways, Josh, what about you? I know in the past
Why do we bother, Travis?
I don't know. Josh does love stuff.
I do love stuff. I'm just not a holiday guy. I'm not, no holiday am I like, oh man, I'm excited for maybe Thanksgiving, but only because of the food. I don't it's not like I'm celebrating the genocide of, you know, indigenous people through the celebration of Thanksgiving, but I'm not a holiday guy, but it is Halloween. So, you know, I'm reading a book right now. I started it on September 30th or maybe October 1st. I'm almost done with it. It's called Blood Sugar. It is kind of this story of
Diabetes.
Yeah, it's a story about diabetes. No, it's like this kid who is helping this like reject who lives in this town put razor blades and poison and drugs inside of candy so he can get revenge on the town that turned his back on him, right? Like this guy. But it's from the point of view of the kid, and so it's very Catcher in the Rye, the way that it's written. So it's very like it's all in parlance, it's all written from the language of the person, right? So it's very Mark Twain, right? The way that it's written, mm-hmm. it reminds me of Catcher in the Rye because the kid is the narrator and he's not like he might not be the most reliable narrator.
He opens the door for trick-or-treaters, they call them all phonies. You're not Freddy Krueger, you're phonies.
Because he has he's essentially, it's like him writing the story, but instead of swearing, he's using other words because he's got a little sister. So he doesn't want to swear in front of his little sister because he's a good brother. So it keeps saying things like mother ducker and or monster trucker, like all this. And so instead of swear words,
an iPhone autocorrect.
Yeah. But he's like, cause swearing isn't right, cause I've got a little sister, but then he gets really mad. And then so like he lets a bunch of swear words happen and he's like, I shouldn't have done that. I've got a little sister. But it's interesting. I don't know that I love it, but it's the first spooky book of the season. Right. I'm reading Running Man right now too, but that's not spooky. That's just Stephen King. So, and then we read these books. This is like spooky season, right? This is what I do for spooky season. I read some comic books. I try to read a little horror story to get into it. But I'm not like our house is not a spooky movie house, right? Like we don't watch spooky movies. So it doesn't happen
on the news.
Yeah, that's scary enough, right? There's a large pumpkin colored man ruining everything.
See, I have to watch stuff that's like insanely fantastically worse just to like even it out.
I get it. Stuff. So. To make the real life not seem as bad. I understand.
I'm my own thing. It's like a David Pumpkins running the country here.
Yeah. So we are.
Hey, Trav, did you ever watch the David S. Pumpkins Halloween special? Because it's precious and I love it.
I have not. And it's love so SNL. Cute. And it starts again tonight. It's new season, new cast. Mm.
Yep.
All right, my friends. Yes. We are 13 minutes into the podcast and have not talked about this book yet. Travis.
Now I had two spooky questions for Andrea and I cut it down to one because I could see you getting anxious, Josh.
That's just how I always look. So,
all right,
again, nervous Nelly.
If you have gone, what the heck, guys, get to the stupid book you're talking about. The book again that we read is You'll Do Bad Things. It's out on Image Comics. It is not, the trade is not released yet. I don't think the trade comes out till December. Bad move, Image, right? Like,
this was a problem for me.
Sell a spooky book.
I'll tell you why when we start talking about the book.
So we read it in single issues, and those single issues, six issues, we had to get them in single issues because it doesn't come out until December. So single issues, the story of a writer who wrote a true crime novel. His name is Seth. He wrote a true crime novel where his true crime novel helped identify or help the police find the killer of this thing called the nursery rhyme murders. This guy who murdered children in a creepy mask, very creepy stuff.
The doll, they call the mask the doll.
And so what we get now is he's trying to write his next book, but he doesn't want to write a murder book. He doesn't want to write a true crime book. Like, that kind of messed him up, I think, writing that. He felt bad about profiting off of terrible stuff, right? So he's trying to write a romance novel, but every time he goes to write the romance novel, it turns into a crime story, a murder story. And then guess what, folks? Those murders start to really happen.
What?
Mystery ensues. Let's get into it. Let's start it. Andrea, thoughts, general thoughts on this book?
Well, I am like one of those true crime girlies, but not like in an exploitive way. Like, I just like having these people's stories be told, and like when the people get caught and all that stuff.
You just get off on the trauma. Okay. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's all right. It's fine.
I really like, cause it looked like kind of like the Italian, like giallo comics, like, you know what I mean? And it obviously that's like the genre is what they're doing. Cause it's like detective and murder and all that stuff. So
you know what they mentioned? There's a lot of close up of eyeballs in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like close up of body parts.
Stabbed,
yeah.
Though, but I really like that aspect of it. So the art, I was very into the art. The story was interesting. I was a little confused at first. Like, I felt like kind of a dummy. And then I was like, oh, okay, I see what's happening. I did have a few questions, or like kind of one question, once you guys kind of get rolling on this, but I thought it was interesting. I was interested the whole time. Like, there was no moment where I'm like, when is, like, you know, getting in the third issue or whatever, I'm like, when is this going to end? I was just curious where this was leading. So it was like a nice little kind of pull the whole time, you know?
I think for me, there was a couple parts in it where it felt a little disjointed, mm-hmm. right? But, mm-hmm. but I didn't expect the twist, and maybe I'm slightly naive. I see Travis's face and he's like nonplussed by this book.
Ooh, what a twist. No. It's not that. I have something that completely negates any kind of really.
Did you read it out of order?
On this.
Did you read
it
out of order?
I did.
You did not.
I did. Oh, I read it out of order. So here's the thing. Here's the thing I want to say, because I want to put this out here because it's going to affect my review of this book. So clearly. we have done single issues of books before on that I buy through Amazon. I go on there and I buy them issue one, and then it'll be like read next issue two, and then I add them in that order. Now Kindle does this thing where it's like, hey, there's six issues of this book. Do you want to bundle them and just buy them all together? And I said, yes, please. Thank you. Click. And then it ordered them in my library.
That's what I did.
I assumed the order that they put them in my library was the correct order. It was not the correct order. I read book number five first. Did not realize it was book number five. I was like, okay, we're like in media res. We're jumping right into this. And so then I started reading what was supposed to be the next issue, which was issue number four. I got halfway through issue number four. I'm like, this book isn't very good. I can't follow it. And then I looked at it and I'm like, I am. So what, like, I had read, the twist was spoiled for me before I started reading issue number one.
Well,
so it didn't end Night Shyamalan. I was like, ooh, what that tweet?
Travis,
I was like,
in book number five, three pages in, it says five.
I thought that was like who knows what a comic book could be, the fifth victim. It could be like,
but also like, I went in to my digital orders and I clicked on one, and then it just fed me the books as I went through, like in order.
Yes. I don't know what happened.
Okay, this is not. I don't need to be condemned for this. So, this is not my fault. This is Kindle's fault.
I just looked at five, And I can see how you would read that and go, I don't see, this could be book one, because he's talking to a serial killer. It's not weird. Right. It's it's not an odd place to start.
Not at all.
That probably throws off your thought, right? So for me, I think it felt, there's a couple things that just hit, that were just weird. One is how the whole detective getting to find him felt weird. Like it didn't seem, why is the detective going to the author? What is the thing that's driving him to the author?
Well, that was, I thought, because he was involved in the original case of the killer.
Yeah.
He didn't get there. So obviously he followed the case and he knew this guy, right? And so when these murders started happening again, he was like, this is kind of familiar. It reminds me of this case. And so then he's like, I think he's following up on his hunch or about this guy he always had suspicion of. So that's what I thought it was.
But it's weird that like he has he gets the book, like the new edition of the book. That's the part that I just didn't understand why, like, unless, I mean, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil this. So if you it ends up, he's having trouble writing the romance novel. He keeps starting writing it and then deletes it. But what he doesn't realize is that his publisher agent has the pages. And so she is making those murders happen. She's hired someone to do it. So I was like, did she send the new copy of the book to the detective? Because he gets it in the mail. That's the thing that wasn't clear to me. That felt weird. I was like, well, why did he get the book?
It felt like it was all just very convenient to, well, we got to get to this spot, so let's just have this. It just didn't seem like, you know, it seemed
That was the thing. So it was kind of like we have this like manic editor, right, who got success because he wrote a book 10 years ago, but hasn't written anything since. So she's like motivating him to write this book or giving him stuff to write a book about. So she's tapped into his computer and she sees what he writes, like for his drafts when they go dark.
Yeah.
And then she makes those murders happen in real life in like 24 hours. And I'm like, talk about lesson planning. I have a hard time coming up with a new thesis lesson in 24 hours.
ChatGPT could never.
Exactly. She's using ChatGPT. And so she's got like lore detectives, specific detectives in the places.
Okay. I have a question, and I could just be a dum-dum. That is really, it's a 50-50 chance. But the guy she hired to do this, another major spoiler here, like she basically commands him to like you're done with your job, and then he like slits his own throat. Like, one of like the goons from Batman? Or
That was a little weird. The other piece to me that felt weird is
because zero explanation of who this guy was, like why she has this control over him, why he was willing to like die for this woman. Like, I don't
know. Think that's why they put the dominatrix?
That's the part,
as a dominatrix is because you get to see like, oh yeah, there are people out there who just want to take command sexually. And then the doll would be like the extreme version of that. Like, I will do what you say.
Yeah.
Even just take my own life.
But I think that's the other part to me that was just weird was the dominatrix part. I was like, okay, he makes this friend, but why is she getting this involved in it? That all of that felt weird to me. I think like the plot of it, I'm a writer, I need to write a book. My editor or publisher is spurring me along by doing all these murders that I can write about. That is interesting. I like that thought. Yeah. That's very cool. But the weird part, the dominatrix part didn't fit for me. And then it felt very sort of like quick to end. And I know that like it's a 6-issue miniseries, but it felt like there was too much in it for those 6 issues. There's an entire issue where he goes and meets the original killer. That felt...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one you read, Travis, issue 5. But I got it. Travis, there was another book that we read. The Christmas one with the Christmas killer. That felt... This is very much... What is that one called? But it felt very much like that whole thing where he's doing the podcast and he goes and meets with the... he like meets with the killer. That whole scene was almost the same book. And I was like, that other one, The Deviant, that other one was,
yes,
it felt, that other one felt a little more earned. This one felt very, very rushed. But I also get like, ooh, we've got to show one ghastly murder a book and let the artist run and do his thing, because the art was great. The art in this book was fantastic.
So good.
The like flat colors throughout. Travis,
lettering was really strong with all the zipping and the crunching and the munching and the punching.
I thought the art was fantastic. The storytelling panel to panel was really good. I like this sort of like putting in the computer screen with his typing on it. Like all of those little things were.
That was super interesting. I definitely needed my glasses for that part, but that was really interesting.
But it was, the art is what did this book for me. And the overall story was interesting. This is that thing where I go like, ooh, it felt very Scream too. I don't know why.
Oh yeah.
It felt very Scream. And then it's meta in some ways,
like Scream is on there. And I think you're right in the sense that I think you hit it right. It's like feels very giallo. The art is really great. The premise is fantastic. For me, I didn't really like gravitate to any of the characters. And I'm not talking about what like the characters, meaning like, oh, I think they're good people. Meaning like, oh, like, that's, I thought the doll was the most interesting character. Like the,
and we got the least
doll murder about of it. Yeah. Person. Yeah.
But I thought that was, I like him being mysterious. I like not knowing him. I like knowing that. I like the dominatrix best friend was just weird. And I just don't understand. That's the thing I don't understand. Like, I think you're right, Travis. I think it's supposed to be that juxtaposition between like those two female characters driving, like dominating people. Right. So his editor or publisher dominating his life and dominating the killer's life. And then the dominatrix being that for other people. But it was just a weird sidekick to have. And then it, like the nephew thing, that whole thing was weird.
What?
So his nephew was a magician, but it doesn't go anywhere. The nephew being deaf doesn't go anywhere, but they spend a lot of time with it.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be like a bigger part or something. You know what I mean? But it just, it seemed like there was all these really kind of cool ideas that like individually on their own, like would be, like fleshed out, like would be interesting, but like it just did seem like they were just cramming in like a lot of stuff that just kind of muddied the waters a little bit.
I'm curious, and I did no research on this because we don't do research on this podcast. If it was supposed to be longer and he's like, well, I gotta wrap it up, Image is gonna let me do 6 issues, they're not gonna let me do 10, right? So I'm gonna wrap it, because it felt like the second half speeds up what's happening. And I don't know that 10 issues would have made it better, but I think it might have closed the loop on why the dominatrix. Why do we spend time with the deaf magician nephew and the sister? Like,
we've really got to care about these detectives, because that's the people's life who get really kind of ruined in the end.
And we don't care about them. We spend no time on here.
Yeah, and in fact, the only thing we know about him is what he says as a character, and then what the editor tells us. We're like, this guy's a bad person. Like, he beats his wife. He doesn't pay his alimony.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't, you know, he California stops on red. This guy's a monster.
Put his shopping carts away.
And then you're like, Seth makes a terrible choice, and he lets him die so that he can write his book. And you're like, this is some screwed up stuff. Like, it doesn't, I mean, it ends a very like dour, sad, well, the world is shitty ending. And I guess that's okay. Right. Like, I don't begrudge a book. You know, you're watching The Fog, and that reminds me of The Mist, which is like the most,
oh my gosh,
like dour ending of a book film ever.
Bummer ending ever of anything.
Or Rear Window. That's Hitchcock. What's the one, the Stephen King short story that it turned into a film with Johnny Depp and John?
Not secret window, something window, right?
Wasn't it secret window?
It's like the writer, and
he's
then
the writer. Yeah, I think that's
it's a secret window. Okay,
secret window.
I was saying, yeah, secret window, probably that.
Not secret garden. Yeah, secret window. Different movie.
The Secret Garden is a horror story as well. That little girl, you know,
that little boy. He was like allergic to the
was it
sun,
boy?
He thought. No, well, oh, there's a boy in it that.
Oh yeah, the one he meets in the garden. Yeah,
it's been a while.
This has turned into a Secret Garden podcast. I'll talk about Secret Garden all day long.
So I think on balance, if we're talking spooky book, I think this would be a great adaptation to a film. Because you could edit out the stuff that doesn't make sense or that you don't need. And I think the plot idea is very good for a modern. I mean, they're cranking out these books, right? These movies. Everybody's making horror movies now because you can make a bunch of money off them.
Low risk, high reward.
Right? So they're making a ton of them. This I think would be like, oh yeah, no, that'd be a great horror movie. The murders are great. The killer is cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. The twist is enough to be like, whoa, right? Mm. But you could clean out the stuff that you didn't need, or you could flesh it out more if you wanted to, right? But I don't think the story's a little too all over the place as is.
But
the art is so good.
Mm.
I want to see this guy do more stuff. His art was fantastic.
Yeah.
You got to put a pin in You'll Do Bad Things. Travis Ratz, how do you end your thoughts on this book?
If I had to put a pin in it, I'd pin it at issue number one. So I'd always know where to begin it if I decided to reread it.
There's part
even when I got the right order, it was trying to I click into it. I'm like, God, that's the right one. And then it would put it on the most recently read thing on here. On there. Kindle, this one's on you.
It is on Kindle. It's on Kindle. Andrea, what are your final thoughts on You'll Do Bad Things?
I don't, because I know we like to balance everything here. It wasn't bad. It was just, it was just a kind of a confusing read at times, and it left a lot, probably more questions than I would like.
Yeah.
But hey, the murders were interesting. Again, the art is gorgeous. I love it so much. So I enjoyed it. I think it's a fine read, but it just seems like a lot crammed into six issues. So
yeah. I think that's where I end. It looked gorgeous. I think the major plot beats are interesting, but the connective
and the twist is really good.
Yeah, the connective tissue is not there. And I think maybe the twist reminds me of Scream, right? I think that twist is very oh, I didn't see it coming.
I know you're closing out, but I was just getting warmed up. I was just kind of sitting back and just kind of thinking about the book. It takes me a second, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I went from a soccer game to talking spooky decorations, and now I'm in this book. So what I do like about this book is I'm not a big fan of serial killer genres in general. There are serial killer stories I really love, but it tends to be something that it's got to win me over if it's a serial killer thing. I'm not a big true crime person in that sense. However, I really do like stories about authors. I think for me, I really like the just kind of like the pressure the author feels on there. And I like how he's trying to mix up his genre. And he's like, I'm trying to do romance. And he's doing this talk show. And there's great when the talk show host is like, so you're going to do why don't you do this new serial killer? He's like, I'm writing something right now. What is it? It's like a romance. Like, boo.
And literally they're like, you suck.
And then that whole thing with the mom who's like, you suck. I have a website about how you're
profit.
This isn't the real killer. My daughter.
That was uncomfortable too. That was really uncomfortable. Yeah. She's goodbye this t-shirt. Yeah.
Another thing that was dropped. Another thing that was kind of dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was going to be a victim for sure.
Yeah. There's all these little threads that aren't
lead to
closed.
Something really interesting, but they're all just sitting there and it's like, oh,
that's why part of me goes was it supposed to be 10 or 12 issues and it wasn't? Or, did I not read and that there's going to be more of this? you know. Yeah.
Well, there was a scene that I wanted that I thought was, since it's a spooky month, the spooky books. Yeah. And sometimes we select books and we're like, oh, they're not like horror, or sometimes they're like really like, last year we did that one on like the witches. Remember the witch one, the sexy witch? Yeah, Somna. It was like witches. Witch porn. Yeah, horny witch porn, man. Hocus poke everyone and where they want to be poked. There was the scene where they're in the church and he's writing, like, or it's like I can't tell if it's a dream or if he's actually typing. I think he's typing this up in the story. Yeah, he's like trying to get he gets inspired by the mother of the victim from that.
Yeah.
Thing. And then he's trying to bring the romance of the husband back into it, and he goes horribly wrong, and the doll comes in and starts really just beating the crap out of the wife of this little girl, the victim's mom. And at the end of it, she takes her like shawl and like hangs her from the rafters.
Strips her naked, it looks like.
Of the church. Rafters. And I was like, okay, that's spooky. That's spooky. Yeah. I got, I read this at night and I'm like, okay, I got a spooky scene on here. And that one really kind of jarred me. And that's what I want in October.
Yeah. The one I did not like though was the dog. Did not like that. Don't kill the animals.
Oh yeah. Like yeah. Yeah.
Because he comes in wearing the dog's skin, and I did not like that.
Yeah.
Don't kill I was like glad it. He at least didn't kill the cat, but I was like, don't kill anything. That is an animal. I hate that. It's poor taste. It's cheap, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm conflicted. Right. I don't know how else to say that. Like, I'm just conflicted at this story, because there are really good parts. There's like interesting beats, but it just falls short somehow.
No, I think we've been fair to it. And it's not a regrettable read. I don't regret reading this.
No, no.
Yeah.
It's a good, like, look, it looks super spooky. So if you want a good little spooky read, and it wasn't, I read it in one night. It's not like it was a long read or anything like that. I plowed through it pretty quick. The six issues move fast. I think that's just the pacing of it. There's not a lot of dialogue. But that wraps up the first book of Spooky Season. We're one book in. The next book is an anthology. We're doing a quick little anthology book by Mike Mignola of Hellboy fame, called Bowling with Corpses. So
you
that
usually hear quick little and anthology in the same thoughts with each other. But I think it's a perfect description of that.
Yeah.
Of this book.
Yeah.
It's a quick little anthology of stuff. So we'll be back on the next episode. Andrew will be joining us.
We'll be right back.
So we'll see you next. Oh, I forgot to do a thing. You can find us at comicexposure.com. Like us, rate us, review us on the apps, all that stuff. You know what it is. All right. We'll see you next trade.